What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's up, Pennsylvania? How y'all doing this morning? Thank you for turning in to the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia that covers most of the Mid-Atlantic states. So we're talking about Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing this morning? I am Kathy Barnett, sitting in for my double good girlfriend, Dawn Stenslin, on the Dawn Stenslin Show. The call-in number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. I see the chat. Y'all are already out here, woke and ready. And by woke, I mean conscious, not liberal woke. Thank you guys so much for joining in today. Helping me kind of walk through all of the breaking news is my new friend, Adam Coleman. And new, I mean, this is my first time seeing you face to face, but I feel like I know you. But I think it was maybe a year ago. I don't know how I found you, but I saw you. I reached out to you. Because that's what I do, especially, I mean, I've been Black and conservative for a long time now, and it was real lonely out here. And so when I see another Black person talking like they got some sense, I'm like, who is that person? And let me become fast friends. And I saw you out there. I think it was around the whole transgender thing is what Jennifer Say is maybe how I first found you and just started listening to you. And so, Adam, thank you for coming. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. For those who may not know Adam, he is the founder of Wrong Speak Publishing. He is also co-founder of Thirst Entertainment and author of The Children We Left Behind. You guys can see right behind me, if you're on the chat, you can see right behind me his book, The Children We Left Behind by Adam Coleman. So we got a lot to talk about. Again, I think the way you popped up on my radar, Adam, is with Jennifer Say. She is the former athlete, gymnast, who has had a very long career, but she started, what is the name of the company?
XXXY.
Yes, XXXY, because those are the two genders. There's only been those two genders. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying that when I ran for Senate here in Pennsylvania in 2022. And when I would say there are only two genders, people would look at me. Some would look at me with, I can't believe she just said that out loud. Others would look at me like, thank you for saying that out loud.
Yeah.
But apparently, while we were asleep last night, University of Pennsylvania has officially entered into a resolution agreement. So as of today, University of Pennsylvania has formally apologized and committed to remediating past Title IX violations. You guys remember this, that a person by the name of Leah Thomas, real name William Thomas, a man, fully intact man. I had Riley Gaines here on this radio station during the Dawn Stenslin Show when I was filling in for Dawn, talking about this man who's fully intact. And she said he was a fully grown man with his appendages, that he was taking showers next to the other girls. So not only was this about him competing in the waters with these girls, but he was taking showers with these girls, and everyone was being forced to pretend all of this is normal. There's nothing strange going on here. Well, apparently, University of Pennsylvania has issued a formal apology and is now committing to upholding Title IX, that was meant to protect girls' sports. Because, of course, a girl is not a man. And a girl cannot go toe-to-toe with a man. Yeah, yeah. If you're on YouTube, y'all can see William Thomas out here competing, looking like a man and beating all of the women. So anyway, all of this has happened. What do you say?
Well, if Trump didn't win, this wouldn't be happening.
Absolutely. So moral of the story is these people will continue to be woke if Trump had not won. And the only reason why they, it's not like they've come, like they've had a come to Jesus moment, right? Like, oh, no. I've sinned and I'm wrong and now I see the error of my ways. No, the only reason why these people are capitulating is because Donald Trump won. And in fact, Donald Trump, University of Pennsylvania was facing a $175 million freeze on federal research funding. That is the only reason. These people are unrepentant.
Yeah. You got to force them. You got to hit them where it actually hurts, and that's their pocket. That I've been saying since 2020 when all this craziness started happening that the only way to move forward is to hurt them financially. Whether it was going to be lawsuits, but I actually didn't foresee, not necessarily Trump winning, but Trump actually doing the things that he was doing, saying, hey, that federal money, you're not entitled to it, right? And if you want that money, there are stipulations to it, just like with anything else.
Right.
And if you're going to violate the law, the federal law, then you know what? You don't deserve that money, which I don't have a problem with. If there's actual law that's put in place, and listen, if UPenn said, you know what, we don't want your money. We want to keep celebrating Leah Thomas as the winner and do the things that we want to do, then that's fine. Then that's their choice. But if you're dependent on that money, which every institution, every college is, for profit, even if they don't tell you that they're for profit, every college is. And if you say that, hey, we might lose $175 million of taxpayer money. Then a lot of people are going to be like, you know what? I know this ideology sounds good and everything, but it's not worth it.
All of a sudden, the virtue, if you place a price tag on the virtue signaling, right? Yep. You can have your virtue signaling opportunities and put, I know you call him Leah, but his name is William Thomas.
Right.
But again, in the United States of America, this wonderful country, if you want to change your name legally to Leah, you can be Leah. In name only, right. But not in DNA, right?
Correct.
And you putting, okay, so anyway, I think all of these people who were in positions of authority should be fired. They are not repentant.
Yeah.
They are clearly morally compromised. They and as a mom with a 16-year-old, a 19-year-old going off to college, you have invested in your babies. You have done the best you can. And then you getting emotional because as a mom, you send them out into the world and you're praying and you're like, Lord Jesus, protect my babies, mm-hmm. protect their innocence. Don't let anyone harm them. And then you send your kid not to some rinky dink university, but you're sending them to a University of Pennsylvania, then the top 10 Ivy League schools in the nation, probably mm-hmm. the world. You send them to this place and you think they're going to be protected and your daughter walks into the gym and there's a boy taking a shower next to her, fully intact. And your babies aren't protected. They feel intimidated and threatened. My daughter is an elite athlete. She just made it qualify for Junior Olympics. And I was saying to her, what if a boy was in there? In that competition, what if there were two boys, you would not have won a medal. She came in second place in the regionals. What if there was a boy and he has stolen that opportunity? And so I think this is really huge. I'm very grateful for this moment. But I feel some kind of way about it still.
I mean, I don't blame you. You know, there was a lot of deception that was happening. Mm. A lot of do not believe. Your deceiving eyes, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking at clearly a man with long hair, but they're telling you, no, always a woman. even though you can just go back in the yearbook and see that he was on the swim team for the men, he's always a woman. And it's just this consistent gaslighting that was happening for people. And Paula Scanlon was one of his teammates. And this constant need to make her feel like there's something wrong with her for just remembering a few years ago or a year ago, a season before, that, no, it's William. I met William. And all of a sudden, William has a different name and is supposedly the exact same as me. And now taking all these accolades. But I also think this is, I do believe in forgiveness.
I do too.
I don't think this is genuine repentance on their part. I think this is just looking out for the bottom line, which, fine. That's what it is. It's an institution. It's not necessarily an institution with a particular conscience. But I do think that we have to look beyond UPenn. We have to look at ESPN, who celebrated when Leah William broke the record, right? And also at the same time, because I used to watch ESPN all the time, celebrating Title IX for years, rightfully so, and watching as the two worlds clash, celebrating Title IX and celebrating the destruction of Title IX at the same time.
I mean, we really can't make it up. Guys, if you want to jump into this conversation, please do at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. We're going to go to break and we'll be right back. See you on the other side. Hey, guys, what's up? You're with your girl, Kathy Barnett, sitting in for Dawn Stensland on the Dawn Stensland Show. Here is the call-in number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Why am I talking about cultural stuff? Yes, I'm going to get to the 60-day Gaza ceasefire. I'm going to get to the big, beautiful Senate bill that Chuck Schumer put in, soon, verdict to be read in Diddy trial. Okay, so hopefully that comes out while I'm here. I'm going to talk about all of these things, right? But, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about culture because you guys have heard people say politics flows downstream from culture, right? Change culture, we change the type of politicians we are electing, i.e., Zoram Mandani, right? Zoram Mandani, I can't even blame him. He is a product of the culture. If you don't like Zoram Mandani, then change the culture. But the only way you can change the culture is if you participate in the conversation. I've been quoting all week one of my favorite quotes from Abraham Lincoln, that public opinion is everything. What the majority of people think is everything. With it, you cannot fail. Without it, you cannot succeed. But the question, it begs the question, who's informing public opinion? There's a huge market out here that they pay top dollar to inform, to mold, to shape your opinion. Dan, play this particular clip because I'm going to, bear with me, guys. Listen to this clip. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but listen to it and I will break it down.
As Riven emerged,
I was ready to tear the heavens apart to be with you.
We can't.
Yes, we can.
She was ready. She has Nexplanon to prevent pregnancy, a non-daily birth control that lasts for 3 years. Over 99% effective, no matter the fantasy. Ask your doctor about Nexplanon.
Yeah. Now, okay, that was the commercial. My husband and I are sitting down getting ready to watch Creed 3. on streaming, and all of a sudden this birth control commercial pops up, and it's a storybook. It opens up as chapter 2, written in pink, and this fairy tale princess runs into the embrace of a fairy tale prince, and she's like, we can be together. And he said, oh, but we can't. And she says, oh, but now we can. And then they go on into this fairy tale. It's soft lighting, it's the leaves falling, and now they're on the ground. And I said to my husband immediately, this commercial is not meant for me. This commercial is meant for my baby, for my 16-year-old, for my 12-year-old niece. This is not meant for me. And then fast forward a couple of days later, I don't know why my husband and I started talking about this again, but we're driving and my 16-year-old is in the back. And she said, and she leaps up and says, yeah, I didn't even know the name of this, but she said the name, Nexplanon. Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was so crazy. I recorded it and I sent it to my girlfriends like, this is a really crazy commercial. So it did what it was meant to do. They captured the mind of my 16-year-old daughter. She's not paying attention to all of this. But then she starts talking about, oh, yeah, but you can get cancer and die. You can. It can get stuck. And if you can't get it out, you'll die. And if you put it in, you can have atopic pregnancy and you can die. So she starts doing all of that. But I thought to myself, they accomplished their goal, which was to, because I didn't even remember their name, but my 16-year-old daughter did. And most of us would think, okay, well, yeah, that's just a one-off. But no, all of these things are, there's a connective tissue that connects all of these things, and that brings us to the culture in which we're now living in, raising our children, paying taxes in, and now apparently New York is about to elect the first radical Muslim. All of these things are connected. Help us connect that tissue.
Well, money. That's, I think, especially when you talk about the root of this particular commercial, their goal is to maintain a particular, especially a future consumer. So it's not, oh, this is a birth control option. This is 3 years. Oh, it's long term. And maybe after another 3 years, you can keep taking this particular drug. And just like you said, your daughter remembered it, not because she liked it, right? But the point of marketing and the point of much propaganda is that you remember it, right? It becomes a reference point for you. So even if you tell someone, this is crazy, but then maybe down in the future, the person you told says, you know what? I am looking for an option. And I remember hearing about this product. So you can't buy something you've never heard of. And that's ultimately the point. They are targeting a particular group, whether they like the commercial or don't like the commercial is sort of irrelevant. As long as they remember it, and as long as they remember the product, then that's the way they make money. But all of this stuff that we've been looking at, just like we were talking about UPenn changed its course because of money. All of this revolves around cash flow in some sense. Everyone wants to maintain money or make more money, and they're willing to use our children to do so. The transgender movement was more so about getting a new medical base. It's why all the children's hospitals around the country suddenly started performing all these surgeries on minors, right? They denied it at first. Then they said they are doing it. Then they said it's actually a good thing that they're doing it. So it just depends on what phase they were at. But at the end of the day, the doctors, the surgeons, the hospitals themselves, which are corporations, were all doing this to increase their bottom line. They are not people who actually care about our children. They care about our children when it benefits them to do so. But if there is a new avenue for a new subset of consumers, they will go in that direction.
And that is the reason why parents have to stay vigilant. I know, Joseph, you're saying what? Yes, it's fun. Oh, and Gary agreed with you out here on YouTube saying, yeah, follow the money. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I mean, and I was talking to my husband as I was coming in. He was like, because I call one segment of the population. Everyone has their agenda. Yes, money is one. But then another is really because they have their little fetishes and they want to do what it is that they want to do. And they want to normalize their little fetishes.
Right.
And I call the LGBTQAI plus da 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 the alphabet mafia. Right. And why do I call it the alphabet mafia? Because they act like they were behaving like a mafia group. And I put into chat GPT, define mafia. And it looks, it's a well-organized organization, a well-organized group that uses violence or pressure or whatever it is that they need to do to accomplish their goal, right? Mm-hmm. And so back in 2022, I'm out here telling, you know, people like, well, what does it mean to be a woman? I'm a woman. Look at me. Open your eyes. I'm a woman, right? I know exactly what it means to be a woman. And people were calling me homophobic and xenophobic and transphobic. No, what I am is I am not morally compromised. I understand that there is a right and that there is a wrong. And have chemically castrating little five-year-old boys, forcing a five-year-old boy, allowing a five-year-old boy to make a decision for his 30-year-old self.
Right.
How crazy is that? How many of you out there have children? And today they're a monkey. Tomorrow they're a ghost, right? Like they have that fluidity.
Right.
But we had come as a country allowing people to make decisions that impact people's lives for generations and decades later. Like even with the UPenn decision, thank you, UPenn, for, you know, acquiescing and coming to your senses. But what about all the girls who lost out on scholarships?
Right.
Right. And they were not able to pay for college. And now they have to take out debt. Everybody's talking about people with school loan and school debts. Right. These decisions have consequences attached to them. And right. 4 years later, you can apologize, but those consequences are still there. We have raised up a whole generation to think there are 87 different versions of themselves.
Well, yes, you're mentioning collateral damage, essentially. There's always collateral damage whenever you engage in some sort of war. And we were going through a culture war. And there are people who are going to lose their jobs, lose opportunities, lose their businesses because of the ongoing culture war that was happening. But, you know, all this is extremely eye-opening for me to see how far certain institutions are willing to go. And so in certain situations, my trust in institutions has now turned to high skepticism. And I think that's kind of a good thing.
I think that's a good thing. The government is not your friend.
Right.
And I think the reason why our founding fathers, I think they're a little schizophrenic. There was like, you know, like they have three different branches of government and fourth when you take into consideration the state.
Yeah.
And everyone is supposed to balance everyone and to hold everyone's feet to the fire. And we should be. But it relies upon an informed electorate, an informed voter base.
Right.
And it's all about those public opinions. And when you have people, I mean, I always would just step back and look and, you know, and just think to myself, what has happened that we as a voting base allowed a lot of this? Today, everyone has found their backbone and now they're standing up saying there's only two genders. A woman is a woman and a man can't be. Everyone has suddenly found their backbone on these topics. But I remember just 2 years ago, people writing articles about me, you know, calling me all kind of names because I just would not bow the knee to this foolishness, recognizing that my own children are watching me and they need to know what it looks like to have a backbone and to stand in a culture that has lost its mind.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I started doing all of this. My first book, Black Victim to Black Victor, I wrote it and I told no one about it, didn't tell my family, didn't tell my job. But I dedicated the book to my son because I released it in 2021, saying the thing that you're not really supposed to say. And realizing that I got way more love than I did hate when I started promoting it. And people started realizing that, well, I started realizing that those horror stories are exactly that. And they're meant to persuade people to shut up. And most people actually agree with us, right?
Yeah.
They don't have a platform to go on television or they don't feel compelled to go online to say these things, but they agree. And so the more people, and it doesn't take that many, but the more people who speak the truth and say things that are so obviously common sense, the more the people, the average person feels compelled to live their life more comfortably.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I saw that when I was out there with Vivek Ramaswamy traveling the nation, when I was here in Pennsylvania, traveling all across. There are more people who agree with us than not. It's not 50-50. The nation is not evenly divided. It's more like 80-20, and the 80% leans our way. Mm-hmm. But they've been bullied by this mafia group. They've been been forced to shut up and sit down. And as a result, there's a squeeze going on. But I think people are looking for an opportunity to be able to speak truth. Okay, guys, the number to call in is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Jump in into the conversation. See you in a minute. Help.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to The Dawn Stensland Show. I am sitting in for Dawn. My name is Kathy Barnett. If you want to call in, the number is 855-839-1210. I am looking, and it appears that Sean Combs has been acquitted of most serious charges. He was found not guilty on racketeering conspiracy. He was found not guilty of sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. He was found guilty, however, of transportation to engage in prostitution. So this will, I mean, we're finding it out right now, right along with the rest of you. So he was found guilty of transportation to engage in prostitution. He was found not guilty on sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. And he was found not guilty on racketeering charges that they had put up, that they were placing against him as well. Now, on the charge, right, of right now, he has been found guilty of transportation to engage in prostitution. That penalty carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in federal prison per count. So
Paul
Morrow
has an analysis of this if you wanted to hear it.
Yeah, please do.
He certainly is going to appeal. Whether or not he's held in court, in jail, I would suspect he will be. Each of these counts carries 10 years. This is the Notorious Mann Act. As many people may have heard, it's echoed down through history. There's been famous people. Charlie Chaplin was charged with this. He beat it. They got Chuck Berry on this. R. Kelly was charged with this. So very clearly, what the jury seems to have decided here is that the prostitution stuff happened, but the rest of the stuff was not coercive. And in fact, it was transactional. And that seems to be the atmospheric from these verdicts. And it is, you have to say, in light of what he was looking at, you have to say that this is pretty close to a victory and a rare swing and a miss for the Southern District of New York.
Yeah, I don't know how you can equate a potential 10 years in prison to a victory, but I guess, compared to what the conversation was like initially, that it found guilty on, I mean, they had him 10 years on everything, and they had a long list of things that he could foreseeably spend his entire life in prison. Now, I guess one of the questions is that now, as he's going through the reworking of all of this, if they will let him out on bail or if he has to continue to stay in prison. That would be very interesting to see.
And they'll probably say he has some time served because he's been locked up for a little bit, and wouldn't be shocked if he's sentenced for X amount of time and let out early because of good behavior. So that potential 10, even if he got the max, I could see that being knocked down and knocked down.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. But that Mann Act is serious. You see R. Kelly, he's still in prison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they are not playing with that. You know, again, but the thing, when I see things like this, my thought goes to, like, this is never done in the back room somewhere, in a bubble, isolated. A lot of other people know about it.
Right.
A lot of other people, right now that this has come out with Sean Combs, like, a lot of people coming out like, yeah, we know about those white parties. Yeah, everybody says, make sure you're out of there by 12 a.m. But at the time, people, you know, it's all about me. It's all about my next deal. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And again, I know I keep talking about culture because it matters. it really matters for me. Yeah. You know, at home, my brother says, Kathy, I'm gonna give you three words. Make it political. And yesterday, the three words were horse, rice, and orange. And I made it political. But the point being that I tell them all the time, politics is in everything. Mm-hmm. Politics is in the air you breathe, the quality of it, right? Politics, I mean, whether it's wind or solar, politics is in the food you eat. Look at RFK Jr. and the dyes and the vaccines and all of these things. Politics is in everything. Mm-hmm. And only naive people believe, well, I'm just going to mind my own business and stick my head in the sand, and I'm just not going to worry about politics. I don't want to talk about politics and religion. Politics is in everything, and religion is often used as a tool to beat people over the head to acquiesce one way or the other.
No, I agree. I have a weird thing, especially when it comes to religion within politics, because religion and politics have different purposes. if we're specifically talking about Christianity, it is about a relationship with God. It's not about winning. It's about salvation. It's a completely different objective than, say, the Republican Party or Democrat Party. For them, it's about winning, right? And it's about winning to what extent? What do they have to do within certain bounds that they can get away with, especially, but within a certain bounds, winning as many people as possible. So sometimes there is this, we should want this thing because from a faith perspective, that's what we should want. But it's like, but a political party can have its principles, but its principles are not essentially the same as your church.
But how would you say you arrive at those principles?
Well, for me personally, as a Christian, I arrive at those principles based off of my faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
but
then
that's me personally.
No, but yeah. I think that's everybody. I think no one. I remember Obama winning in 2008, and I remember him walking on stage and is, you know, so magnanimous. And I remember him saying, I am a blank slate for you to write upon, America. And my first thought was, that's a lie. No one is a blank slate.
Right.
Even in my womb, as I was carrying my children, I was writing on them. Right. I was writing out on their DNA who they are, right? And certainly once they're born, their environment from the moment they're born to the moment that they're whatever age he was when he initially won, you're writing on that person. That's a lie to say you're a blank slate. We're all being informed somehow. Right. But we're all being informed by, you know, religion is a huge informer. And absolutely, even if you say you don't have a religion, that's your religion, right? Mm-hmm. Because these people are real adamant about that aspect of them. Whether it's religion, whether it's history, whether it's political, we're all being informed, right? And
absolutely,
so as a Christian, my faith does inform me. And I'm very open about it. I'm unapologetic as a believer in Christ and how that informs certain things that I do or don't do. And even as someone running for office, like I wouldn't check my faith at the door. I'm still a believer, although I'm walking and casting a vote one way or the other. But my question would always be, because the greatest pushback I got when I ran for office, it wasn't from the Amish or the Hindu. The Hindu community, I mean, they were one of my largest fundraisers.
Right.
The Chinese community, they were one of my largest. I mean, those people knocked on, when I ran for Congress, they knocked on over 50,000 doors for me. Just going up and down and knocking on those doors, right? The Amish community invited me in and said, hey, everybody, she's one of us, right? Wonderful people. But the greatest pushback I got was actually from within the church.
Right.
Talk about a bunch of apathetic people. Just the apathy. Like, oh, Jesus is coming by and by. No. And I would say to them, who, if not people like me, should be running for office? Like, I actually believe there is a right and a wrong.
Right.
I actually believe that there are only two genders. I actually believe that we should take care of the poor, but that we should not base our policies on the poor.
Right.
We should base our policies on how do we benefit the middle class, because the middle class is the one who's providing the engine for the top 1% and paying the bills for the bottom 50%. So we want to make sure that we're protecting this group of people, that we don't become a nation of rulers and renters and nothing in the middle.
Right. No, I completely agree with you.
We're getting ready to go to break. Yeah. Hold that thought. We're going to break. Here's the number, 855-839-1210. I'm going to find out more about what's going on with Sean P. Diddy Combs. See y'all on the other side. Okay, guys, listen. This is the Kathy Barnett Show. No, it's not. It's Kathy Barnett sitting in for Don Stensland. The Kathy Barnett Show is every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. So, I mean, we be cracking up. The phones be off the hook. So many people are calling in. On Saturday, Dan, on a Saturday show at 10 a.m., people are calling in. It's so much fun.
I love your show, Kathy. I love the energy that you bring every Saturday morning. And, yeah, the callers, I don't know what's going on. Call in right now. Don Sensley. We take calls, too, 10 to 12, 855-839-1210. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. But we actually have a clip of what's going on. We have a former NYPD inspector and Fox News contributor actually on the inside of the Sean P. Diddy Combs courtroom right now. You want to play that?
The prosecution made it about the sex and the freak-offs, but there were other things involved that you've mentioned.
Yeah, so one of the things that was marbled into this case were the drugs and the guns. They seized some of these things at the locations where they executed search warrants, and to Jim Trusty's point, I kept waiting for the witness that was going to come together as a flip and say, look, I was part of this RICO. Yes, I signed a cooperation agreement with the government, but here's what we were doing, and we had this organization. It was running guns, it was running drugs, it was doing all of this stuff. You never really got that. And so as a result, what happens? It becomes all about the sex crimes. It became all about the sexual stuff. And the defense did a very good job of introducing all of these text messages where the women involved were affirmatively reaching out to Diddy and saying, where are you? I want to come be with you. In some instances, even saying, I want to be part of the freak-offs. I miss them. And so what you ended up with at the end of the day is a he said, she said, where the prosecution had to say, well, the women involved were suffering from battered wife, essentially. And if you could get over that hump, if you could get past that, and say, you know, to the jury, no, you know, there had been many months and they reached back out to him. That took the RICO charge with it. And a single person RICO is extremely, remember why we have RICO. It was created by an academic for the purposes of taking down the mafia. And then it was Rudy Giuliani who really figured out how to use it and apply it. And he did, in fact, break the back of the mafia here in New York City and nationwide. Mm-hmm. It's that sophisticated a statute. And in this case, it did always feel like a reach, and the jury agreed.
Yeah.
Paul,
thank
in your
you
experience.
So much, Dan. I appreciate that. Guys, in the studio with me right now is Adam Coleman. He is the founder of Wrong Speak Publishing, co-founder of Thirst Entertainment, and author of the book. If you're looking at me on YouTube, you can see the book right there on the screen, The Children We Left Behind. You have any thoughts on all of this? He was not found guilty, Adam, on racketeering conspiracy. He was not found guilty on most of the really large crimes like sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. What are you thinking?
Well, I kind of felt like this might be a stretch from the very beginning. We saw what happened with Trump and them trying to turn that into a racketeering. Just like it something about it. They were trying to point to some bigger conspiracy. And I was just under the impression that, especially when it comes to federal prosecutors, they usually don't bring charges unless they have a lot more that they haven't told the public about. So just like he was saying, he was waiting for something to come through, like the smoking gun from the prosecutor.
Like some kind of organization,
right?
Like a formal organization of trafficking, drugs, people.
Or witnesses.
All of that, yeah.
You know, someone who's actually been involved in it. Yes, they can point where everything, how everything operated. But it sounds like they didn't have
and
that.
And it really did. I mean, I listened a little bit, not a lot, because, you know, it's just nasty. Like, most people, 80% of us, we're just not freaks like that. We're trying to pay bills. We're trying to keep the lights on. We're trying to send our kids to school, right? We'll have time for, you know, 72 hours freak-offs, right? So it was like, what in the world? And it really did become all about this salacious kind of sex stuff that's going on. And like, that's crazy. I think they adequately proved that Diddy is a horrible human being. But I, too, was waiting for this conspiracy, but it was always just about he's really nasty, probably got a lot of diseases, got a lot of stuff going on, right? But that's about it.
I can foresee, this is my prediction, I can foresee Diddy trying to make a comeback, and then there are going to be Diddy supporters who are saying that he was set up by the government or that this was racially motivated, because I've already heard some of that.
Are you talking about black people?
Yes.
Of course. Yes. Like, why does everything black and cool have to be us rallying around the sickest, nastiest, most debased, right? I don't know if you remember here in Philadelphia, but, you know, under the Biden administration, there was some kind of rioting that took place downtown Philadelphia. Dan, if you remember this, remind me. But there was a very plus size black girl that was encouraging people to break into buildings.
Meatball. And
she, I'm sorry.
Name was Meatball.
Meatball. Yes, Meatball.
Oh, she's huge now, Kathy. She's all over social media. Drewski, one of the social media stars, features her in a lot of videos now, dating videos and such. Oh, she's all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah, she's still around.
So
that's Meatball.
Done come up, huh? She done got to come up. But that's like the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I'm black. I've been black all my life. I would assume you've been black all your life, too, Adam.
Correct.
I don't know anybody like that. I know a lot of black people. And I don't know these black people they have on, you know, all these videos doing some of them. I don't know any George Floyds. I don't know any of these people. But it's very irritating to me. And it really grinds me raw that anything black that is elevated for the world to see, it is debased. It is debauchery. It is nastiness. It is filth. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know any people like that.
Well, the most ignorant get the most platforms. You know, it's much like how Twitter, the crazier thing you say, the more attention you get. The ignorant section of black people, they got cell phones too. And they record themselves saying reckless stuff, and it gets a lot of attention. So yeah, they're going to get way more attention than someone like myself, who is just trying to be myself,
normal.
Trying to be like normal, you know. So yeah, they're going to always get more attention, but they're always going to, there's something about irreverent, ignorant people who just thrive off of external validation, and they can't wait to tell the world about how dumb they are.
And it seems like there's a platform of spotlighting black people.
Absolutely.
Acting real crazy and then labeling it black fatigue. I mean, mm-hmm. No more is more fatigue of that kind of black person than me.
Yeah.
I'm real fatigue of black people. Those kind of black people behaving poorly, and then the rest of us, you know, people looking at us like we're that way. But I have to say, I'm sure you remember earlier this year, once Donald Trump won, there was a lot of white conservatives who said, okay, we won the presidency, the House, the Senate. What do we do with all this winning? Oh, let's make saying the N-word popular again, right? Mm-hmm. And I was so encouraged that in the real world, when you get off of Twitter, most white people are like, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah. We're not doing that. That is dumb. And it's the same thing with the left. You see the left doing real stupid, insane things, policies, boys, girls, boys, all of that. And then you come off of Twitter and you realize, okay, 80% of this country is reasonable, insane. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. The call-in number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.